Welcome to Update One, the podcast of the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Update One provides a forum for listeners to learn about national stories focusing on news, politics, and current events. Now, the latest edition of Update One.
Welcome to Update One, the podcast of the National Press Club. I'm Jennifer Strong. When a company pays an employee to take an early retirement or otherwise to leave their job and agree not to sue afterwards, that's called a buyout. In recent years, buyouts have become very much a part of newsroom culture. So today, we're going to learn what a typical media job buyout looks like, when it's a good idea to consider taking a buyout, and what you can do to prepare for one should it come down to that. We'll also hear from a few folks who've been through this process, but first, joining me is John Challenger. He's an expert in employment and the U.S. jobs market. He's also the CEO of Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. That's an outplacement firm, which means it helps workers who lose their jobs go find new ones. Welcome, John.
So nice to be with you.
So, John, from where you sit, are media buyouts really as common as they seem to the rest of us?
They are widely used by media companies, often when they have an older workforce and starting with a voluntary package that gives people a choice of whether to stay or go, but take a package that's often more lucrative than what might follow is a common practice.
How are press buyouts different from, say, automaker buyouts or financial services jobs buyouts? Or is there perhaps a cross-industry formula to this process?
It depends on the particular jobs that may be being eliminated, taking age and years of service, and then offering a package to everybody who fits in that window. Sometimes companies and media companies as well will exclude certain areas of the company because they're deemed to be crucial to the business's ongoing work.
Are there things a journalist should expect to see happen in a typical newsroom buyout? Is there a certain way these things tend to play out?
Well, often the company will come in and offer the buyout package to people. There's a certain period of time people have to choose whether to take the package. It's not usually too long. It might be 30 days. And then the company will look at who's applied for the package. They'll make sure that not everybody's left from the same area so that that, again, area is decimated. They may choose not to let everybody take the package. But then the next step is the people who are approved go through the process of leaving the company. It is voluntary. So often it's not the sudden kinds of changes that you see, in big downsizings where, there's a Black Friday or Tuesday, or there's more of a runway often in a buyout situation.
Who should take a buyout? Is there a particular profile of the right person to take a buyout?
I mean, if you know you're very hireable, that you have skills that are in demand in the market. Remember, it's a good market right now. A little tough for journalists just because of the nature of the industry, but the economy is doing well. So people are landing new jobs much more quickly than, say, 5 years ago in the aftermath of the recession. At the same time, people have to think about the disruption, their willingness to go out and make change. And they also have to think about whether or not they could be caught in a second wave, where you do often see that the first stage of a company going through restructuring is a voluntary package. Then there's often an involuntary phase that comes later if the company still has to cut costs to survive or to change in the way they do it. And so you have to also assess, am I going to be here for long? Is it better just to take this first chance, more lucrative package? It sometimes can be beneficial not to take it. So it's not a clear decision. You are sometimes in an organization later that's thinner, more opportunity, and you may have more room to move and be recognized for what you do post the buyout result.
In these negotiations, do you see the shrinking newsroom and more frequent buyouts as perhaps changing the role of unions representing these workers?
Well, unions in general have lost, a lot of power to make much of a difference, in negotiating with management, especially in companies that just aren't doing well. Unions have a much better chance of negotiating a deal, working out something and improving workers' lives when the companies are doing well and there's more to share. But when companies are just fighting to survive, there's you know, just not much there. Not all media companies are in that position, so that's one of the things you have to evaluate.
What can a journalist do to prepare?
I always think that people need to see themselves as free agents. Join, you know, associations and go to their meetings of, say, of other journalists and other kinds of external communities where people get together. Because if you do look for a job, it's much better if you're highly involved and engaged and know a lot of people. You can consciously start to devote more of your time to it. I can't tell you how many people I've seen who lost their job and said, I just don't know anybody. I just put my head down and worked here and I didn't bother with all that. And I'm never going to do that again.
For current members of the press, John, how do you see the next few years playing out? And do you have any advice?
Well, I think it's a continuing situation, certainly at the old line newspapers, as media changes. There's still demand. I mean, what the economic model, you know, is going to be for journalism, certainly not going to be based on help wanted ads and subscriptions like it once was. And so I think it's important also, by the way, to stay in touch with your colleagues who leave, you know, work again assiduously at staying in touch with them, where they go, because often people find jobs by following their colleagues out to other places. Also be open to jobs outside of just pure journalism. We see a lot of people go into communications, PR, and social media, digital media, as new ways of reinventing yourself.
John Challenger is an expert in buyouts, employment, and the U.S. jobs market. Thanks, John, for taking the time to chat.
I'm Rick Ward. I accepted a buyout and left my position as supervising producer with CNN in Atlanta.
My name is Terry Lynn Martin. I worked as an executive producer at NBC for about 20 years or so in the TV news division. And then the last 5 years I spent in the entertainment division. The first time I was presented with a buyout opportunity was in 2008 when NBC was shedding employees to get lean for a takeover by Comcast. And I decided against it. The economy had taken a nosedive, if you remember. And frankly, it was just too risky to leave. But what that was a wake-up call. Because in 2008, a lot of my friends who'd been at the company for many years had been shown the door. A buyout opportunity presented itself for the second time in 2012. By then, I had a plan.
I'm Scott Birchwater. I was a tech guy and project engineer for NPR for many years. I took a buyout at the end of 2013, and it took me about a year to get my financial life reestablished and going again. Didn't work out the way I planned, but it's going to work out for the best.
My name is Brian Russo. I'm 37 years old. I live on the eastern shore of Maryland in Berlin. I've charged into hurricanes. I've interviewed senators and congressmen, legends of the music industry, and everyday people. I've crawled into tents with homeless folks and told their stories, and done the type of work that I always wanted to do as a journalist. And I remember having to walk in and tell my wife and my kids that everything that I worked for was over. Since then, even though I got a pretty nice exit deal, it's been like the long, slow death. It's been like that guy in the Western movie where he gets shot and it takes him a good 5 to 6 minutes to actually die.
My name is Sally Squires. I took a buyout from the Washington Post in 2008 after spending 24 years working there. My one word of advice is that the skills of a journalist, curiosity, strong writing, attention to detail, serve you well in many fields.
I want to close this conversation today with a look at the future. Matt DiRenzo wrote an opinion piece for Pointer called Journalism Companies Are Dead. Long live journalists. Matt, welcome to Update One.
How are you?
Well, thank you. So you say in your piece, we've talked endlessly about the future of journalism. It's time to talk about the future of journalists. Can you explain how you see these as different?
Well, I think this process from print to a digital world has been, as expected, very messy. And there's been tons and tons of concern and conversation about business models and making sure that legacy organizations can make the transition and that startups emerge to fill the gaps. But lost in the shuffle there has been the well-being of journalists themselves. And so that has taken a personal toll on people who've gone 8, 9, 10 years without a pay raise, who have the prospect of layoffs, or buyouts looming over them at any time, and also without even the protection of seniority, because that doesn't seem to matter anymore. And in the meantime, it's a pretty stressful job to begin with when you're going out and covering horrible crimes and so forth. And so what we're seeing is an exodus, either involuntarily or voluntary, of the professionals who are the best at holding public officials accountable, the best at storytelling, the best at journalism. And that, I think, needs some stepping back. And as a society and as a community, we need to think about that and focus on that, not just on whether Gannett can turn the corner or whatever.
Yeah. And as you say, the past decade has been a long, hard road for those of us who remain in this business. There are many fewer jobs, and at least anecdotally, it seems many of us are working for a lot less pay. Do you have any other thoughts on the future for journalists?
Well, I think all of the stakeholders, starting with journalism schools in particular, need to be thinking about teaching resiliency, teaching entrepreneurial skills, and educating journalists, especially when they're getting into it, but also mid-career journalists, on how to make a living independent of companies who might not have their best interests at heart and might not even be focused on journalism at heart. You know, they need to approach it that way, even if they're joining a promising startup. You know, we've seen many, many of those experiment, which thank God they are experimenting, but sometimes experiments fail fast and then you're out of work again and you're faced with the same thing. So I think there's tons of potential for entrepreneurship of people who are good at journalism doing that kind of work in their communities, but they need to have the skill sets and the business skill sets to be able to do it.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I recently helped judge a scholarship competition at the National Press Club, and there were dozens of us in a room from all walks of this profession, and I have to say, it was a bit tense at first as we wondered aloud, are we really doing these young people a favor, setting them off on a career path that may never compensate them properly for their efforts or might leave them unemployed? I mean, that said, we were all so inspired by the drive and talent of these young people, many of them still teenagers, covering tough topics like drug abuse, teen pregnancy, and the riots in Ferguson, and doing a pretty good job of it, I might add. But what do you think for these young people? Do you have any specific advice for someone who's 18 or 19 and just setting off on this path?
I would look, before you hitch your wagon to a particular company or an effort, I would look at their motives. You know, one of the things that I think shows, this is not exactly answering your question, but one of the things I think that shows great promise that we need to think more about is if you step back, a lot of us get into this not to be rich, but we wanted to earn a livable wage, and we wanted to make the world a better place through kind of defending the little guy, holding the people in power accountable. And if you look at the big picture, what's going to improve public health in this country? More information about public health, you know, in part. What's going to improve the environment? More information about the environment and things that are harming it. And so there is a great nonprofit motive for people who care about issues to put money behind journalism in local communities. And so I think that needs to, as well as the for-profit models and trying to figure that out, that needs to be on the table. So I think and I hope that there will be a wide array of stable options for students in the future, but they just need to be smart about the long term and looking at the motives behind the people that are hiring them and realizing that it doesn't work anymore. And maybe in no profession, but definitely in journalism, there are a few places where you're going to go and just have a 30-year career ahead of you. It's going to be a messier transition than that.
Yeah, for sure. So what about the mid-career journalists or just otherwise current journalists who find themselves in a buyout situation as more buyouts and more newsroom layoffs hit the press? Anything you think it would be wise for a journalist in those shoes to consider?
Yeah, sure. I not only had to lay off and buy out many journalists in my previous roles myself, but I also participated in one and I took a buyout myself. I would urge a buyout process that focuses on setting people up with seed money to do their own thing and think about it that way. That's not for everyone, though. So that I would say that to the employers, and then for the employees, I think one of my regrets was in the very first month or 2 months after I took the buyout, I was kind of like, oh, I need a break. I need, you know, I'm dazed. I'm just going to stop and relax for a little bit. And at, during that critical time is when I should have been having lunch with everybody I know, you know, not necessarily asking them for a job, but just going out there in journalism and outside of journalism and in related fields and just learning everything I could and picking people's brains about what the opportunities are. Approach your job search like you would reporting for a story.
Sound advice. Matt Dorenzo has worked as a print reporter, editor, and publisher in Connecticut. His article for Pointer is called "Journalism Companies Are Dead. Long live journalists." Thanks, Matt, for joining me on Update One, the podcast of the National Press Club in Washington. I'm Jennifer Strong.
You have been listening to Update One, a production of the National Press Club's Broadcast Committee. You can comment on this show or any episode of Update One by going to facebook.com/PressClubDC or on Twitter @PressClubDC. Thanks for listening to Update One.